We are joined again on site by a friend of the program. He is a PGA Tour golfer. He is a four-time winner on tour, three top 20s in the majors last year, a member of the 2017 President Cup team, and the pride of Poway. Charlie Hoffman joins me on location. Charlie, it's been a minute or two, man. It's so good to see you. How are you?
It's great to be back on the show. I mean, I love coming on the show and rapping with you.
I looked at it, man. It'd been since 2017. So we skipped a year, so it's good to have you back.
Yeah, we did something right before the President's Cup last year, and that was the last time I was on the show.
Dude, you're photographic.
I still listen all the time, though.
Good, I appreciate you. That's great. Now, you grew up playing at Stone Ridge, which is not far from here, and as we've talked about in the past, you went on to become a legend at Poway High School. What's it like to be back at Torrey, and how special is this tournament and this course to you?
You know what? I mean, I played this tournament for the first time when I was 16 years old. I mean, this is my major. I mean, this is the spot where I grew up watching Stadler, Jacobson, all the guys play. I mean, so I come here and I have great memories and hopefully make some even better memories in the upcoming weeks.
All right, so if you got your start and you played your junior golf around here, that can mean one thing. Mm. You went up against some of the best, and legend has it, you and Pat Perez used to get after it and battle back in the day. He's coming on the show next. What was he like back then? And I got to know, what were you two guys like when you were 8, 9 years old?
You know, yeah, I've known him since 8. San Diego Junior Golf sort of carved us in who we are, you know. I would say Pat was a little bit wilder than I was, but I had my wild side too. You know what? Pat's a great friend, known him forever, maybe the longest person I know playing the game of golf. And obviously, it's amazing to see both of us make it on the PGA Tour and still playing in our 40s.
Charlie Hoffman joining us. I just love seeing guys do so well from the area. And when you talk about San Diego area golf, I had Xander Schauffele on the program earlier this month. He kept dropping your name in the interview. He kept talking about you. He could not say enough nice things about you. What do you make of him as a player and a guy?
Well, he was dropping my name because he actually big-timed me to go on your show. We were supposed to be practicing and playing. No, so I was giving him a hard time. I was listening to the show, hitting some balls, actually. And I'm like, really? You're doing Rome? And you were supposed to be out here practicing? No, but Xander... Since day one, since he turned pro, we sort of started hanging out. We have a mutual friend, Derek Ueda, that we do some putting stuff with here in San Diego. And we practice all the time together. And I just try to give him the stuff I learned the hard way and try to help him through the rookie year, give him some tips. And you know what? He's ran with it. And now I'm trying to get tips from him how to get in that top 10 in the world. I mean, that kid is the real deal. He doesn't get enough pub from these PGA Tour media people. But you know what? He's a name that you'll see in majors in years to come, and he's a force on the tour.
So he obviously thinks really highly of you. So he looks to you for a lot of help. When you were coming up, who was that guy for you?
You know what? I like to just bounce around. I'd sit on that first tee and sort of find a veteran out and just go play with them and just sort of pick their brain as they're playing, how to play the golf course, what they know, how to travel, and all that good stuff. We didn't have a... When I was growing up, the GPS system, the hotels and all that stuff, I mean, it was like the hard way. So you had to, what restaurants to go to. So you had to ask questions back then. And you know what? I wouldn't say one name really stood out. I mean, Jerry Kelly was a guy that was a veteran on tour. I used to
love Jerry Kelly.
Yeah. And he used to bounce a lot of ideas. I mean, if you want a good restaurant in a town you're playing golf at, you go to Jerry Kelly. And I like eating.
Of course, he's a Wisconsin guy. Yeah. Of course, he's about the food. Hey, but let's not get it twisted. He was hard-nosed now as a competitive guy, Jerry Kelly.
He's as competitive as a guy. I mean, hockey guy. He wants to beat your brains in, but after the round, if you need to have a beer or something to eat, he's the guy to hang out with.
Charlie Hoffman joining us. You know, you mentioned what it's like and the way things used to be. Your old stomping grounds at Stone Ridge, maybe 30 miles from here. How long would it take you in your Dodge Colt back in the day to get over here?
You know, that Dodge Colt, we used to jump that thing. We used to do a lot of things. I can't believe that thing still ran, and we sold it to somebody, some sucker. But you know what? In the morning, it would take a long time. There was no 56 to get over here back then, and we'd have to go through the back roads, and I'd get caught trying to take a shortcut or something. But one time, I don't even know if you've heard this story, I ran out of gas coming here.
Come on.
I ran out of gas on the corner of Genesee over here. Almost made it.
Bro, it's not like you're 16 and you just got your license.
No,
what was that? Was that last year?
No, I'm in college, and my golf coach, I just picked him up, of course, and I'm on the corner, and I'm on a little back road that really nobody would go on besides me to know how to get here, and no other, right after I ran out of gas, then Phil Mickelson comes right by me, and I'm jumping up and down. I don't even know if Phil knows who I am. I'm ran out in front of him, and he's like, I deer in headlights, and I'm like, I need a ride. My car's dead. No gas.
Did he pretend like he didn't see you and blow right by you?
Pretty much. The only reason why I stopped is because I was in the middle of the road. Phil Mickelson, when I was in college, I think I was 19 at the time, picked me up and took me here. The best part about that he rolled up right in the first parking spot because he's a past champion. got front row seating.
So what did you say to him when you flagged him down, and what did he say to you?
He's like, what the heck are you doing? I'm like, I literally ran out
did
of gas.
Did he know who you were?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I obviously grew up playing San Diego golf and a kid in town, but he knew I was. But, you know, I mean, there's nothing. The feeling of me, this is like, I think before cell phones. I mean, I didn't even, I mean, this is 20-something years ago, and I didn't have any way to get a hold of anybody. And, I mean, God brought Phil Mickelson to give me to my tee time on time. I guarantee you.
Dude, if Lefty doesn't show up, you'd probably still be out there right now.
I may be just barely getting here, beating the traffic. But yeah, that's an amazing story,
Charlie. That's a great story. I'm glad you shared that. And Charlie Hoffman joining me. We're at Torrey Pines. You know, last time you and I spoke was before the President's Cup, as you mentioned, in 2017. As you look back on the experience, what sticks out to you the most?
Just the team camaraderie. Those team rooms are amazing. That's something I want to give back. Obviously, the competition that we play in, but the hang that you really don't get on the PGA Tour, you get during the President's Cup and the Ryder Cups, and those are friendships you'll make. I mean, not that you don't have friendships out here, but those friends are deep. You go to fight with those guys, and it was a lot of fun. Obviously, we won. It was a great experience that way. But you know, just being in that team room and BSing with those guys and playing ping pong and just having a good old time.
So what's it like when these guys come together in a team, because it's not a team sport, and then all of a sudden you guys do come together, but then you go back to your own thing and you want to beat the hell out of each other again? How's that dynamic work?
It's pretty easy, because that's what's ingrained in us. I mean, we don't know anything better than beating each other's heads, and it's easy to change that mode for a week, but it's easy to get back in it also. But you know, it's crazy, we even take it to the ping pong. I mean, we try to beat each other brains in playing ping pong or any other thing we're doing in those team rooms, and it's a lot of fun.
Any good action on those ping pong games?
You know what? The crazy thing that sticks out in my mind is that Tiger and I took on a couple guys, Berger and I took on Tiger and another guy. And you know what? Tiger could barely pick up a ping pong ball off the ground, and less than a year later, he's playing the Ryder Cup. I mean, that's insane in my head how that transforms so fast.
What do you think? I mean, I actually started the show by saying just that a year ago at this time, this guy had no idea whether or not that fused together skeleton would hold together, and then he has that great year, and all of a sudden he's right back on the hunt in everything that matters. I mean, what do you think when you see him right now, given where he was a year ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I hope he doesn't play. I mean, for the PGA Tour, I hope he plays great when he plays, but I mean, I think he needs to be careful and rest that back, because obviously the PGA Tour is a better place with Tiger Woods and when Tiger Woods playing well. So I want him to take care, be healthy, and when he's ready to play, be ready to play and be ready to go.
Charlie Hoffman, my guest. Now, in the past, you and I have talked about the course at Augusta, how it fits your eye and your game. What do you mean by that? And then how much confidence do you have after shooting 66 last year? Does that carry over?
Yeah, you know what? It's a game where you got to visualize every shot, and it just seems like when I get on those tees, I visualize in the second shot. Every shot I can visualize where the ball's going and which way it needs to move and where it needs to be on the green. It's a very strategic golf course where one day a pin placement on a hole could be a birdie hole. The next day you're hoping to make par just because where the pin is. So I think I got the strategy to go around that golf course. I think I got the patience to go around it. It's a place where I really enjoy playing. Obviously, length is a key out there. I hit it fairly long, but you get guys like, if you're strategic around that golf course, you can win.
Now, people who know what I'm about to bring up. Back in 2017, you had that legendary moment at the Bridgestone Invitational where you told your caddy you were sick of finishing second. You decided to go for it instead of laying up from 282 yards out. That was a moment where you became a hero to a lot of viewers at home. Did you have any idea that that moment would become as big as it was?
No, it's one of those things. My caddy and I talked about it all week. It's a layup hole. But when you're in the situation, I just lost in a playoff the week prior, and I didn't want to finish second again. I mean, I play the game of golf not because I make big checks for finishing top 10. It's for winning golf tournaments. I've only won four times on tour, and this is my 14th year, so the percentage isn't very very good. So when you get in that hunt, you need to try to close the door, and it was one of those situations where I thought we need to take a risk. It paid off. I made it, but I didn't end up winning the golf tournament.
So where does that leave you? I mean, I was gonna make that point that you have the four wins, you've had more than a few seconds. I mean, you're playing really well. If you finish second, you're cashing a big check. If you finish second, do you take pride in those excellent performances, or is there just disappointment because you didn't win?
Some are different than others. There's been weeks where I've had two holes to play and been up two and lost, and there's been weeks where I'm five back with three to play and birdie the last three and finish second. So obviously, when you don't have a chance to win, really, and you finish second, it's a good week. But those weeks that you sort of blow that lead, it's not a good feeling when he finished second, for sure.
We talk about it, Charlie, in horse racing. There are some really good seconds and some not-so-good seconds. Yeah. It really does depend. Now, at the Century Tournament of Champions earlier this month, the Tour experimented with mid-round interviews for TV. You're a great interview, but how would you feel about doing one mid-round? Would you be cool with that, or is that a distraction?
I think it's horrible, personally. I don't think it looks good on TV. I didn't like it. I watched a little bit of it. I think for the pace of playing the game of golf, I think it slows everything down. It takes you out of your mental, I would say, rhythm, what you're doing, thinking about shots. I don't like it. I'd say no to it. Now, if you get a good interview and guys like to talk while they're going down the fairway, fine. Good. So be it. I'm not going to be that guy, though.
We're talking to Charlie Hoffman. Now, you and your foundation
are
celebrating your 10th anniversary, and during that time, you've raised and given back $2.5 million to the community. When you and your wife Stacy take a moment and think about that number for a minute, $2.5 million, what's that represent to you?
You know, that's $2.5 million back. That's what we've given back to the communities in which we live in, which is amazing. You think about that as just starting in someone's backyard. We thought we'd have a great event and play a little bit of golf, and now we're over at the Belly Up in Solana Beach. We had Don Felder play this year. I mean, great live auction items, great pros playing my foundation event on Monday. We had from Ricky Fowler to Xander Schauffele to Gary Woodland. I mean, you can name it on and on. But to have the pro support our foundation, the community in which we live in, is unbelievable. And we grossed over $500,000 in a day and a half, which is real money, and it's going to go back to the communities and to kids. Our mission statement for the Charlie Hoffman Foundation is children's charities. And in San Diego, we give back to San Diego Junior Golf, Pro Kids Golf, and Cystic Fibrosis. So it's a lot of good charities we give back to, and we're making a difference.
It's a great cause. And you mentioned it. In the early years of the foundation, you were doing it in your backyard. Now you're doing it on the North Course here at Torrey. Every player who doesn't have a scheduling conflict shows up and participates. What's it been like watching this thing grow the way it has?
You know, I grew up, I remember being asked to do it, and I'm like, it was my second year on tour or something, and I'm like, you really want me to take over Craig Stadler, what he was doing? I mean, I've only been on tour a couple of years. And I didn't think or know I'd be on tour for this long, and it's been a great accomplishment to do that, but be able to give back to the community for 10 years, it's amazing. I mean, I grew up dreaming of being on the PGA Tour, winning golf tournaments, but I never dreamt that I'd be able to give back to the community, in which we do, my wife and I, and it's a great feeling.
All right, so when you say you didn't know that you'd be on tour this long, when you first got started, when you first hit the tour, what was the plan? What was the goal?
The plan was a rock, a big old long mullet, stick out a little bit with the hair.
And
you know what? It's nice the golf game sort of took over, the hair went away, and I'm still noticeable on the golf course.
Hey, listen, I would never start with the hair, but the hair was a thing now, all right? That was a beautiful and legendary mullet. Do you miss it?
Not at all. It's funny. I get obviously family pictures at home, and I always walk by, and you get a good chuckle of what you used to look like. And my kids really don't remember me because I think I cut it when my oldest was about two. So it's one of those things that unless you see a picture of it, they don't really remember me as it. But you know what? I rocked it. I loved it, and it's not coming back.
I mean, dude, there was power in that thing, right? Was there not power in that mullet?
You know what? I think I've had a better career after it. So I think I the power is now with the shorter hair.
All right, one more thought about that ride. Remember the Dodge Colt? What color was that car?
It was like a pinkish gray. It was horrible color. I mean, it was bad. Like a pink salmonish. I don't even beige. It was mixed. It was horrible. How did you get the Dodge Colt? Where did you get that info?
I got a better question. What the hell were you doing driving a pink Dodge Colt?
It was my grandma's old car, and she had passed away, and it was, I think, the only thing my parents would give
me. Sorry, I asked. Sorry about Grams. That's awesome. Where did I get that information? Yeah. I don't know, man. I pulled it out of my backside. That'll happen. Listen, Charlie, I appreciate you. I hate that we skipped last year, but I'm so glad to see you here in person. I appreciate you picking me up and coming on the show. Great to see you.
Long-time listener. Love to be on the show.
Great to have you, Charlie. Thanks so much. Charlie Hoffman, if you need him, he's a four-time winner, and he had three top 20s in the majors last year, a member of the 2017 President's Cup team, and the Pride of Poway, not far from here. Good to see you, bro. Thank you.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're gearing up for hour number two.